This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, welcome back. That were number two of the program. Bob Pompiani with you today until 1 o'clock. Joel Nelson is back. Heading up the ones and twos behind the glass column at 412-928-9370. That's also the number of the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Peters Township, or visit them online at southhillsjeep.com. And our show is brought to you by the good people of PNC Bank. Make today the day. Shop 24 hours with Expressway at number one Cochrane. You always ride in style with them. Shenderovich, Shenderovich and Fishman, Ireland Contracting, and Iron Rock Tap House. Our big thanks to all of them. In the meantime, we're talking about what should be a very interesting Sunday in the NFL. The Steelers needed so many things to happen just to be in this position, but it started with them going 6-2, and they did after going 2-6. And here they are at 8-8, taking on the Browns. Even though the Browns have been eliminated, they pose a little bit of a problem here, I think, especially if they get off to a good start and the Steelers fall behind. The Steelers would like to make sure that they reverse that and start quickly. Deshaun Watson is still working himself into form, but we saw much better performance from him last week with three touchdowns and against a Washington Commander team that had a lot to play for. So he could be dangerous, but I think obviously Nick Chubb has to gain your attention. He had 113 yards the first time they played. You might remember that first time they played. That was the day that George Pickens made that one-arm catch that still is up for play of the year in the NFL, I think. But Kenny Pickett was not the quarterback back then. It is the quarterback now, and Pickett has come off very impressive. Two fourth-quarter drives to win games, and the run game has been a lot better. And they need more out of wide receivers down the field especially. And if they can start doing that, heading into next year, I think that would be something that has been missing all season long, just a big strike ability. They need to have that moving forward. And today, you got two very big games. One of them is involving Kansas City and Las Vegas. If Kansas City wins, they will secure the number one seed. They'll get the only bye in these playoffs. The Bills then will take on the Patriots tomorrow, knowing that they're not going to get the number one seed. That could impact how they play, who they play, and would help the Patriots and hurt the Steelers. And then you got the Jets and the Dolphins, two crap teams right now, but the Jets have to win. And that's a bad thing to hope for, the way the Jets are playing, to hope they win. But there you go. That's gets you caught up on what's going on. As far as the Hall of Fame is concerned, again, no Hines Ward, no James Harrison. They made it a semifinalist, do not get to the 15 finalists. There's a lot of debate about whether Devin Hester should be in. I think he should, because I don't think there was a better player in the NFL in history when it comes to run backs, kickoff returns. He has more non-offensive touchdowns than anyone in the history of the game. 412-928-9370. Let's go to Dante, who joins us on the car. What's up, Dante?
Yeah, hey, Bob. It's a pleasure to hear your voice. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you for calling. Thanks, man.
Okay. Hey, question for you. I didn't understand why the referees allowed Harbaugh to put his red flag back in his pocket during the game last week, with 3.5 minutes left, when he was going to challenge a catch that Deontay Johnson made. The referees stopped him from using his flag, and they stopped the clocks themselves to look at it on replay and change the ruling to a no catch. And it was not within 2 minutes. There was 3.5 minutes left. I don't understand how they were allowed to do that or why why would they give an edge like that to Baltimore? I don't understand that.
Yeah, I think they now have this ability at times to make a quick call that they get hit from upstairs. I agree with you. When I first saw that, I thought the same thing. Again, you fall into the 2-minute range. When you get to the 2 minutes, everything's automatically reviewed. You don't have to waste time on a challenge. But I think they have more leeway in doing that, and I'm not sure exactly why, but that was actually the correct call, what was made. So at the end of it, they got it right. But I thought the same thing at the time.
Yeah, I'd like to get more clarification on that, if that makes sense eventually, because I'm not any aware of any leeway the referees have to do that. But the other thing I was
a lot of times, though, Dante, what happens, sometimes the lines judge will come over and tell someone they saw something different. They could reverse a call down on the field before it ever gets to a challenge. And sometimes these officials do that. They get together quickly, and one guy sees one thing, another guy sees another, and overruns them, you know. So that could have been part of it as well.
Yeah, I'm aware of that, but they stopped the clock to do it, and they looked at the film, which was weird. It just didn't seem right. They stopped the clock to do it. So anyway, the second question I have is why, and this one also involves Baltimore, why is it that the league is saying they're going to allow home field advantage to be determined by a coin flip between Baltimore and Cincinnati if Cincinnati finishes one half game ahead of Baltimore? I don't understand that. They're not doing that for...
Yeah, I don't think Cincinnati likes that explanation either. And, you know, it basically comes down to Baltimore and Cincinnati could play in the first round of the playoffs and a coin flip. They changed the rules midway through the season, which they never seem to do. But again, extenuating circumstances, they had a rule in place that could have solved this whole thing, just go by win percentages. Because if the Ravens do win at Cincinnati, they will have beaten them twice, and the Chargers beat Denver, then those two teams will play in the first round. I don't think that's an equitable way of doing it. I agree with you.
Yeah, this is the second time that Baltimore gets a really unfair advantage, because during the pandemic, they made the Steelers play on 3 days or 4 days, 4 days between games because Baltimore complained about something, and it was just absolutely crazy that they were giving Baltimore that unfair advantage. Thank God it didn't work out in their favor, but now they're doing it to Cincinnati against Baltimore. I don't understand why Baltimore's getting all these special favors from the league.
Well, I hope you're falling short of conspiracy theory here. I just think it's one of those things that would never have been an issue had not what happened Monday night. So they tried to make what's best. I think sometimes they're trying to appease too many people. Some people are going to be affected by this negatively, regardless of what you do, but they had a set of rules they could have deferred to and just said, this is what we decide. In the offseason, we may change it, but we're not going to change it on the fly, but they did exactly that. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. Let's go out to Joe in North Versailles joining you right now on the Fan Hotline. What's up, Joe?
Well, I got to be honest. I kind of lost my mojo with football, with what happened Monday night. But upon the better news regarding the young gentleman, feeling a little bit better. So I will talk about football. I think what happened with the NFL is they got painted into an unintended corner when they put the Kansas City game on Saturday. They had games that have to be played in the later window on Sunday because they're West Coast teams, and they took that one, moved it out of there so they could put some better games in that 4:25 slot, and you can't have all the games at 4:25. So originally, Kansas City winning today would have just only meant that they had a leg up on the number one seed. Now it means if they win, they will have the number one seed. So the bailout plan for the NFL would be this: for Kansas City to win their game, for Buffalo to lose and Cincinnati win. And at that point, I don't think the NFL can change the rules again. Buffalo and Cincinnati would be tied for the second seed, and they didn't play each other. So as crazy as it seems, it comes down to things like conference games, common games. Guess what? They're going to be tied. So it would come down to strength of victory, which Cincinnati will win no matter what happens this week. That means that if those two teams meet in the division round, the game would be in Cincinnati, and so the game that didn't get played would get played for bigger stakes. So that would be the ultimate bailout on this whole mess for the NFL. It probably won't work out that way. You know, nobody's talking about those situations. We're only talking about the changes, which are, by the way, and I want to compliment everybody involved, but particularly, and I'm no fan of Cincinnati, I want to compliment their coach and their team for the way they handled that on Monday night. But I agree 100%, if I might say the word screwed, I think the Bengals are getting screwed.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And that may play out the way it goes, but you have to go deep into the tiebreakers, as you just cited here, Joe, to figure out how that would end up. But, you know, again, there's no perfect situation here. I mean, no matter what you do, somebody's going to be affected. And in this case, Cincinnati will be the team that's really affected in two different ways, possibly. So,
well, there's one way
all you can do is play the game and try to win.
Just go out and that's one, Bob, there's one way that won't happen. Cincinnati's got to be motivated. You know, Buffalo's everybody's darlings, but I think the most motivated team is Cincinnati. I wouldn't be shocked to see them to run it all the way.
They might. I think Buffalo, though, is the team that's going to dig deep here, and we'll see how it goes. I mean, there's so many games. When you have a single elimination, one game decides, all it takes is a couple of bad plays, a couple of big plays, a penalty at a critical time. That's what makes it very intriguing, and I think regardless of how it's going to turn out, you're going to see some pretty good games the next couple of weeks. Thanks, Joe.
Appreciate your call.
And thanks for setting it up. That's how it goes. Four deep into the tiebreaker, if that scenario that Joe said comes true. Let's go to Rob in O'Hara Township, who joins us here on the Bob Pompeiani Show. Well, hello, Rob. How are you?
I'm good, Bob. How about yourself?
I'm good, thank you.
Now that the season's coming to a close, three things are obvious. The NFL was a watered-down league. Our Cinderella Steelers are going to turn into a pumpkin, and it's imperative that they draft a quarterback early next year.
Did you say quarter or corner?
Quarter, as in Pickett, Rudolph, Trubisky.
You want them to draft another quarterback?
Absolutely. Let me tell you why. We've seen enough of Pickett so far this year. You compare his statistics to Rudolph in 2019, which everybody screamed wasn't good enough, and Rudolph's statistics are better. You have a number one receiver that has yet to catch a touchdown pass this year. And next year, Rudolph is certainly gone, and you can bet your boots that Trubisky's going to be screaming to get traded. The teams have figured out how to deal
with
go ahead.
No, I was going to say, first of all, they have too many other needs to be drafting quarterbacks. They may sign somebody as a backup. They may have someone that they bring in to fill out the roster. I thought they wasted a pick on Chris Oladukun this year, and he's not even around. Yeah, they because I bet both Rudolph, now Trubisky is not, he's signed. He could be here, and I would like him as a backup. I don't think that's a problem, but they're not going to draft a quarterback. They have too many other things they have to draft.
He's going to want out of here, Bob, and the thing being is,
but he doesn't control that.
Well, other players have forced their way off this team in recent years. Melvin Ingram, to say one. He's going to force his way out of it because he knows he's not going to play. But these defenses got Pickett figured out. Don't let him dink and dunk and hope he makes a mistake.
Well, first of all, how can you say that? The defense is just – he just went down the field twice in critical situations against a Baltimore defense.
What about all the rest of the game, Bob?
Okay, he's a young kid. He's a rookie. You're going to tell me you're not impressed with what you've seen from him as the season has moved on?
No, I'm not, and I'll tell you the reason why. Every time he comes up short, everybody says he's a rookie. Well, if he's a rookie, he shouldn't be playing. You have two healthy veteran quarterbacks that could be playing, and had they gone with Rudolph, like I suggested early in the season, they would surely have won two or three more games without question. But they wanted to go with Pickett, and this is what you end up with. You look at his quarterback rating, it's atrocious.
You can look inside the numbers all you want. What I saw the last 2 weeks showed me a guy who has the ability and the moxie to do it. Now, will it get tougher on him? Certainly it will. I'm not going to look 5 years down the road and say he's going to become a Hall of Fame quarterback. What I am saying is I think they got a pretty good indictment of what he is, which is a good young quarterback who can make critical throws in critical situations. I blame
Here's the
offensive coordinator and the scheme on what we've seen so far. Because in the beginning of this, they were being so apprehensive about throwing the ball down the field. They have to be more willing to do it.
But he's not capable of doing it, Bob. If you look at the last game, that play down the left sideline to Johnson, you would have thought Pickett was throwing that ball 90 yards. That's been his story all season. He don't have enough arm. They blame Claypool for that interception early in the season. That was clearly Pickett's fault. He doesn't have enough arm. If they pass up this opportunity to get a quality quarterback in this draft, then
they're not in a position to do it, and they're not going to do it. The quality quarterbacks will probably all be gone.
We're a 500 team, Bob.
I disagree wholeheartedly. I think they got ahead of it. Thanks for the call, but I disagree. They got ahead of it by taking Pickett when no one else wanted to take Pickett or any other quarterback, and I think you've seen the results. Again, I look at week-to-week advancement and improvement. I think the throws that he's made have been extremely accurate, especially when rolling away from it. He senses he knows when to run. He also knows when to keep a play alive by using his feet, and there's a difference there. So we agree to disagree. We'll find out down the road who's right and who's wrong, but I don't think they're going to draft a quarterback at all. They have Trubisky signed. They may bring in somebody else, whatever the case. They have too many other things that they need to take care of. 412-928-9370. Is that number to call? We're going to take more of your calls as we go. Again, our thanks to PNC Bank. Number one, Cochran. Iron Rock Tap House. Shenderovich, Shenderovich and Fishman, and Ireland Contracting for being part of our program. We thank you for calling. Lines are still open until 1 o'clock. What do you think? Call us. Air your opinions. We're right here on the Bob Pompeiani Show, Sports Radio, 93.7 The Fan. All right, we roll along. And a reminder to you, coming up today at 3:30, it is Pitt Panther pregame show. They take on Clemson today. And if you're going there, they will have a big banner in support of DeMar Hamlin at the Peterson Events Center. You can sign it, offer him best wishes, beginning at 2:30 today between sections 224 and 225 at the Peterson Events Center. As far as Pitt is concerned, 4-0 to start this season in the ACC. Nobody saw that coming, especially without John Hughley, who apparently is just trying to get himself back into shape. If he does, and if he becomes a player that he once was last year, boy, this team could pull a surprise or two more along the way. Clemson's a good team. They're undefeated. Then next week, Pitt goes to Duke, and Duke won't be in a good mood because they just got throttled by NC State the other day. Let's go back to the phone lines as we continue with Oscar, who joins us in Oakland. Hello, Oscar. How are you?
Good morning, Bob. Happy belated New Year.
You too. Thanks, bud.
Thank you. Thank you. Not that I begrudge Mr. Goodell's millions of dollars of salary, but nothing would make me happier than for Buffalo, New England maybe to end in a tie, Kansas City to end in a tie, Cincinnati's game to end in a tie, any one of the above just to throw out all of their efforts to screw Cincinnati or whatever. Make it a little more interesting because I don't think any of the scenarios contemplate that. Just a thought.
First of all, it's hard enough to get one tie in a week. To ask for that many, it won't happen. But I understand what you're saying. I just think, again, to me, the easiest solution to all of this, Oscar, was just to have the current rules. Whenever there's some extenuating circumstance that makes it difficult for a team to play, you just go by win percentage and tough luck. I mean, that's it's written. It's there. They could have just gone to that, and they elected to go in a different direction.
I agree. It just smells of some shenanigans behind the scenes, and it's unfortunate. I'm not going to ask for your prediction about whether the Steelers get in. I'm sure we both want the Steelers to have all the dominoes fall. I'm beating you in the CBS prediction. Even Ron Smiley, I think, is beating you.
Join the club. I've been beaten like a rented mule, man. I'm not good at that stuff, and that's why I stopped doing it. Honestly, predictions are hard to make, and there's so many things that go into it. But I'm glad you're doing a good job on those predictions. Thanks for playing.
Well, you're an award-winning sportscaster. I'm not. I still love listening to you, even if you can't predict games. So, have a great year.
Thanks, Oscar. I appreciate it. Hopefully, I'll get better in that department. Let's go out to the counselor who joins us in the car. Hey, counselor, what's up?
Hey, Bob, happy New Year to you and your family, and healthy one
too.
Most important.
Thank you.
My comment on the Steelers, as far as I'm concerned, even if they win and don't get in, it's a plus. It's a plus. I'd rather get in, even though we get beat in the first round. I think the experience will be invaluable to Pickett. Okay, and to Freiermuth, Najee Harris, and, you know, that young core, okay? The other comment I have is I understand at least the only good thing that Nutting and the Pirates are doing is asking for a king's ransom for Brian Reynolds, because they could have a pretty good outfield if, since they got the number one pick, there's that outfielder from LSU who has pretty good power and is an okay fielder, could be the right fielder, has a good arm. They could have a decent outfield for the next several years, but that's presuming they don't trade Brian Reynolds or come up with the money. They're coming up with the money to sign these people for one-year deals. How about throwing a little bit of that more money on a deal for Reynolds?
Bingo, that's what I'm saying. Why would I want to spend two here, three there, four here, four, and it results in nothing? I'd rather just say, Brian Reynolds, he's good enough to be here for the next 5 to 7 years. He could be our core player in center field. I just don't understand why they wouldn't do that. They should do that. That's the right move to make, but it hasn't happened yet, so we will see. With regard to your first point, I think, Counselor, I do think this has been, you know, teams have to sometimes wait years and years and years to find a quarterback that will take over, especially following a Hall of Famer like Roethlisberger. That's not going to be an easy thing, especially where they drafted. And here they are, came up. It could be a very minimal amount of downtime in terms of, you know, bringing in the next quarterback who can be their star quarterback. So I think this season has been encouraging from that prism, even though I, you know, the numbers of points are unacceptable. But I think you're going to have clearly something to build on heading into next season.
Well, I think once, I hate to say this, I don't like people losing their job, but I think they have to move on from Matt Canada. And once they get a offensive coordinator that will allow Pickett to, you know, go downfield more frequently, especially when the running game go in on play action pass, I think the points and the touchdowns will increase.
Yeah, but that's going to be one of the most watched decisions going on. You know, Mike Tomlin hired Matt Canada. Is it Mike Tomlin's decision? He normally hires all of his staff, and he has the say in that. Matt Canada still have 1 year left. Or does, you know, something happen, because it has happened this way before, or maybe Art Rooney suggests they go in a different direction and bring in somebody else. And the guy that they brought in actually was pretty good in Todd Haley way back when. So there's a lot of still mystery surrounding what they may do. But to your earlier point, I think they've set themselves up for a very, hopefully, minimal amount of downtime until the next group of young, talented kids, specifically
well,
Kenny Pickett,
they're
in the corner.
I think Miss Dan Moore is too inconsistent on pass blocks as a left tackle. I think they could use a high draft pick on a left tackle that might be better than him. He's not a bad swing tackle, but I don't know that he's consistent enough in the pass blocking.
I agree. But I think he's okay to have on your team. They've been lucky, and thank you for the call, Counselor. They have not used anybody but their five starters all year, pretty much, and that's a rarity in sports, especially football, that you have no injuries, and knock on wood, that'll continue. But, yeah, they need depth there, because sooner or later you're going to have some people who need to be, coming into games. And if they don't have a lot of depth, it can expose them for other problems. Let's go to Roland in Castle Shannon. What's up, Roland?
Hey, Bob, great show. I'd like to first give some love to DeMar Hamlin and his family, and Godspeed that young man and his recovery. I'm sure you share those sentiments as well.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I'm glad to see so much recovery in 1 week's time, man. Thank you.
My second love, Captain Clutch, King Kenny effing Pickett, some of the greatest exciting moments in the last couple of weeks. Edge of the seat, standing up and screaming. He is the future. He's not in the Hall of Fame. He's not Joe Montana. He's not Ben Roethlisberger. He's not Terry Bradshaw. But he's trending that way. And if he wins this week and everything comes to form, Bob, Pittsburgh's going to Buffalo next weekend. Can you imagine the emotion for King Kenny to lead the Steelers up to Buffalo? The sad thing, I think, is going to be the NFL, obviously, the way they rigged this thing against Cincinnati. To me, the simplest thing, but then it sets a bad, bad, bad precedent, would be giving Buffalo the option for a coin flip to determine an outcome, win or loss, against the Bengals. But under that scenario, they would have had to go back to Cincinnati, potentially, if they lost the coin flip and everybody wins out this weekend. So they absolutely didn't want to force Buffalo. They also didn't want to set the precedent, Goodell, that one team could pick a coin flip option and have that override the longstanding percentage, win percentage. But you can see they rigged this thing to favor Baltimore, to punish Cincinnati, to favor Buffalo, and to punish Kansas City with the home field. And my final thing that I want to say love to, and I want to throw this at you, this is my Mount Rushmore of Pittsburgh sports legends, or my Mount Washington, is Franco, Roberto, Bruno, and Mario. And my other top four sports casters, I'm talking to the sports anchor of the year, a 40-year Pompey anniversary, who shown so much grace and love. I'm going to put you up there with Myron, the Gunner, and Mike Lang for Pittsburgh Sports. We're blessed to have you.
Wow.
And Bob, you have so much grace handling Franco and handling the DeMar Hamlin situation. Everything you've done is with class. And I even forgive you, Bob, as the Pope, for your comment about Ron Cook being stupid. So that, I bless you. Here we go, Steve.
Roland, I never said that. Thank you. Thank you for those kind words. I don't belong on that list, by the way. But those guys are always people I looked up to and people I've admired all my career. But thank you for that. And I never said that about Ron. I said the whole idea of what they were using as a system was stupid. I would never say that about Ron, but thank you for the nice words. And yeah, I think if Kenny Pickett can get a situation, what a good experience it would be for him to go on the road in a playoff game right now if they should get in. And again, to expect three more things to happen is defying the odds. I just don't think that's going to be a possibility, but you never know how things are going to work out in this NFL. As I said before, you know, for the fourth time, I think in the last 5 years, they have been in this situation where they've needed a last week win and help. And they got it last year. And I think it's the seventh time since Mike Tomlin has been head coach that they've been in these situations. So here's another. We'll find out what they do. You'll see the game tomorrow live on KDKA with pregame and postgame on Pittsburgh's CW after the game. So join us for that. We're going to take a break here. Our show is brought to you by the good people of PNC Bank. Number one, Cochran. Shenderovich, Shenderovich, and Fishman, Ireland Contracting, and Ira Rock Tap House in Greensburg. We have more until 1 o'clock. Air your opinions right here live on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. 412-928-9370 is the number to call as we continue to talk Pittsburgh sports and sports that affect Pittsburgh teams. Like what we're going to see this week, so many interesting games, so many things that have to happen. One we haven't talked too much about over in the NFC side of things is Detroit. Who would have thought they'd be in this battle against Green Bay? 2-8-8 teams. That'll be an 8:20 start time tomorrow at Lambeau Field. And Dan Campbell has put together pretty good season after it started not so much. Last week they routed Chicago, and as far as the Steelers are concerned, that's always good news. I know there are some people who thought maybe the Steelers should have made a pick at the time with Green Bay, that trade for Chase Claypool, because they had struggled. Turns out Chicago is the best trade they could have made. They're going to get a second-round pick, and it's going to be a high second-round pick for Chase Claypool, who got into it a little bit last week with some teammates. Doesn't look like that's going to work out well for Chicago. He's had a bad year. I mean, I came into this thinking he would have a good year. It was a contract year. I thought he'd play really well. Rededicated himself over the offseason. That hasn't happened. And so now the Steelers get their second-round pick. And Detroit has something to play for here in this game. You know, one thing about Dan Campbell, he's gone 2-1 in his short time against Green Bay. So, you know, Aaron Rodgers is playing well. Their defense is really playing well. They have turned it on. That's a team to watch out for if you're looking in the NFC, because I got to believe they're gonna beat Detroit. Although Detroit has got some spunk. So we have Bill in Westview. Bill, what's going on? Welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Wanted to say that.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Okay, I'd like to talk about Izzy Abanikanda. I think he's a really good running back, and I think he's going to do well in the NFL. Any chance you think the Steelers might take him in next year's draft?
No, I don't think so, just because they don't need a running back. They have two guys who've now established themselves as a good complement. They also have some guys here like Snell and McFarland who will still be on their roster, and if they need depth help because of injury, those guys would answer that call. But I also think they have too many other things they need, from offensive line to inside linebacker to cornerback. I still believe that's a big position for them, a shutdown kind of guy if they can get one. And they're going to need to figure out what's going on in the inside part of their linebacking core, because I would expect Bush to be gone. I know Mike Tomlin likes Miles Jack quite a bit, but he's been injured. Will he come back? Who knows? So they're going to need depth in those positions as well.
Yeah. I was just wondering maybe with one. I know they have 2 second-round picks. I know they have a lot of other needs, but I just thought that might be a possibility. But anyways, it sure be nice to see him on the team, I would think. But we'll see, I guess.
Yeah, he's put himself into a nice position, so he'll make some money in this draft. And there are a lot of teams that can use guys, certainly in the running back department, and they come from all over. They come from undrafted, like, you know, Jaylen Warren. You know, I look back, speaking to him, and the thing that held him back, number one, first people thought he was smallish, but he's really built well. He's quick. He hits holes fast. But also his problem in college was a fumble-itis kind of situation. He's only had one fumble here this year, and it was recovered by Pittsburgh, so he hasn't lost any fumbles. I think that was a point of emphasis with the Steelers, but they liked his talent. I think he should have been drafted. The fact that he wasn't, the Steelers swooped in and got him, was a big move for them.
Yes, sir. All righty. Well, thanks a lot.
All right, Bill. Thank you.
Pleasure talking to you.
Appreciate you being a first-time caller. All right. Call again whenever you want at 412-928-9370. Brad in Punxsutawney is joining us right now. What's up, Brad? How you doing?
Good, Bob. Just on my way down to the Pitt basketball game today. Want to start off first and foremost, continually praying for DeMar Hamlin and his family and continued recovery. Hopefully the miracle continues. Number two, and I've called you numerous times, and you know over time, I don't disagree with a lot of callers or whatever, but I do think we need to back up a little bit on the Kenny Pickett strength of his arm and everything. People that drafted Kenny Pickett knew his strength. They know what he can and can't do. Us as callers, I think sometimes need to remember we need to trust the people that are in charge. We have our quarterback of the future. We just need to put the parts together. What he's done the last 2 weeks, I think, is just a glimpse of where he's going to take us. And I just hope the fans can step back and just enjoy the ride.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's what I mean. You're watching a young kid come in, and now he's taking some necessary steps in big-time situations. I think that's the most impressive thing, that these are not easy situations to be in, coming from behind, Heinz Akershire Stadium when the temperature was minus 30 against the Raiders. That was big, considering, you know, that it was Franco Harris's 50th anniversary, and he had just passed. There were big stakes involved in that game. And then last week on the road, that's even tougher to do it in Baltimore the way they did it. Big 3rd-and-8 completion, and he's doing it by making smart plays. I just think all of this will benefit him so greatly heading into next season. You get that out of the way now, you don't have to worry about it moving into next season. So, yeah, and people want to talk about arm strength. How many times do you really throw the ball? And from what I've seen in the 20 to 25 yard down the field, he puts a lot of zip on the ball. So I have no problem with the arm strength.
I agree 100%. And you throw in a couple, maybe an offensive lineman, an inside linebacker next year, and then all of a sudden we're starting to put some pieces together, because I was proved wrong on something this year, Bob. That offensive line's a little better than maybe I gave them credit for, because they have not.
Yeah, I agree with that.
They have not been as bad as that people maybe projected, and I just think, you know, we got some skilled people in the right positions. Let's get a few parts of the puzzle, linemen, maybe outside back, pick up a corner somewhere. And, you know, I think we're closer to where we want to be than farther, if that makes sense.
No, I agree with that. And I think, most teams that go through a quarterback switch, especially one following a guy who's been here for 18 years, are going to be destined for the Hall of Fame. It normally takes a couple of years. Look at all the guys that, for example, Indianapolis has gone through, trying to find out. Now, they were dealt a tough blow when Andrew Luck said, I'm done. But they've gone through all these veterans who haven't really done anything. And now they're going to be in the same position that a lot of teams are, yet several years later, and they still could be not sure who's going to be their quarterback. So it's a tough thing, and the Steelers may have limited their time, you know, in terms of being down a little bit by drafting Kenny Pickett, and no one else was willing to do it. And I'm sure a lot of those teams have passed on him before pick number 20 in Pittsburgh are probably regretting it. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it. All right, thank you. Let's go out to Herb in Greenfield. Herb, what's going on?
Well, Well, the big question I have, do you think our both of our backup quarterbacks will be back next year, or are we going to just pick up maybe a good veteran as a backup?
Well, I think they have one in Trubisky. To me, he's an ideal backup, and the price is $7 million. You know that going in. I think they want him to stay here. And he may
I was thinking if they unloaded him, they just have to find somebody like him anyway. So,
yeah,
I guess
exactly. So, I mean, he may not want to be here, but so be it. He signed, and that's the way it has to be. And I think Mason Rudolph will look for something else because he's not obviously going
to
be in the plans.
Somewhere else, sure.
And I still think Mason Rudolph has some upside to show people, and I hope he gets another chance, and I hope he takes advantage of that chance because I still like his ability to throw the ball. But, you know, just here, it just didn't work out. So, there you go.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, sir. Appreciate that. We're going to be out of time. Paul Alexander is coming up next. We'll give him a call throughout the afternoon at 412-928-9370. Again, setting the stage for you tomorrow. Actually, starting tonight, we have the 84 Lumber Mike Tomlin show at 1135 KDKA. And then tomorrow, it's a pregame show at 1130 preceding the NFL Today on CBS. We'll have it live from AccraSure Stadium. And then afterwards, 2 hours of postgame, Pittsburgh CW. After... we should know exactly what's going on by then, I would think, and whether or not the Steelers are in it or out of it, and then we'll talk about what happens next. I want to remind you once again that our show, and we want to thank the good people who make it possible, PNC Bank, number one Cochran, shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochran.com, Shendorovich, Shendorovich, and Fishman, Ireland Contracting, and Iron Rock Tap House for their support. We certainly appreciate that. So again, just to repeat, the Steelers need to beat Cleveland. They need Buffalo to beat New England. They need the Jets to beat Miami with Joe Flacco at quarterback against Skylar Thompson. Who would have thought that entering week 17 of the season? And, of course, today Kansas City can wrap up the number one seed. But if they don't, certainly Buffalo will have a lot to play for. And that's an outcome you would want to see for the Steelers, Kansas City losing somehow to Vegas. And that Buffalo would then have to play and beat New England. And that would help them out as well. All right, that's going to wrap it up. Thank you, Joel, back there. We appreciate it. Joel Nelson always does a great job in the producer's booth. I want to tell you about Fan Weather, which is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet, Route 19 in the South Hills. Start the new year off with a great deal on a newer pre-owned vehicle online at sunchevy.com. Chilly with plenty of clouds, even a few flurries. High of 36 today. Tonight, partly cloudy, colder, low of 25. Same kind of thing tomorrow, maybe a little bit more snow. Nothing that will accumulate, but it could make for a festive atmosphere over at AccraSure Stadium. Have a good day, everyone.